Just have a listen to this. I reckon you've heard it once or twice before. Yeah, that's the sound of a barcode being scanned at a checkout. Okay, enough already. I only wanted three of them, not four. You've probably heard it about 1,000 times, but have you given any thought about where barcodes come from and what their purpose is? Well, it hadn't crossed my mind too much until earlier this morning. Now, it just so happens with barcodes, they've actually been around for 50 years and they're about to get an upgrade. So what will they look like? And why were they created in the first place? A couple of key issues we want to get to. Marcel Sierra is the Chief Customer Officer of GS1, the company that administers the standards for barcodes in Australia. He's with us now for a chat. Hi, Marcel.
Hi, Paul. Good morning. How are you?
Fantastic. Take us back to the origins of the barcode.
Right. So, yes, it was actually April 3rd, 1973, where a number of retail leaders around the world got together to select a single global standard for barcodes. They wanted, of course, to automate the process of scanning products at point of sale to make it more efficient, more accurate, and faster. And I guess, you know, it's been 50 years since that decision was taken, and the barcode has really changed the way that that we go shopping at the supermarkets. I mean, I remember, you know, going shopping in the early days with my mom, having to wait until the operator manually processed all of the products that we were buying, and you know, having to wait in line for a very long time. Today, we just, you know, fly through the checkout and we don't give it a second thought.
So, in the early stages, was it just about having a pricing structure? Because things like inventory wouldn't have been attached. I'm thinking that our computer systems wouldn't have been adequate enough to track product movements.
Yeah, listen, when the decision in 1973 was made, there was definitely a vision that was much broader than just scanning at point of sale and recognizing the price of the item. It just so happens that scanning at point of sale was the first implementation that took place. But today, if you consider everything that happens in the retail supermarket supply chain in Australia, for example, is underpinned by barcodes. We don't necessarily see it as consumers. We only really see what happens at point of sale. But every step of the way, a barcode is being scanned in the process of getting products from manufacturing companies all the way through to our shelves, basically. So yeah, it was very much a longer vision, a much broader vision.
Marcel, what sort of information can a barcode contain?
Well, today, Paul, basically we have a unique product identifier that is embedded inside the barcode. And I'm referring to the barcodes that we see on actual products, right? If we consider barcodes that are in a carton of products, then more information can be added into the barcode. Things like expiry dates and batch numbers.
Yep.
And this is a really exciting thing about the next generation of barcodes that we'll start to see emerge more and more and more on consumer products, is the fact that this next generation of barcodes will have the ability to have much more data about the product, and also the ability to link to the internet so that consumers and everybody in the supply chain has access to a wealth of information about the provenance, about the safety, the recycling instructions for products, and that's really the really exciting part about the times we live in today.
You might want to hold up a crucifix when I say this, Marcel. QR codes, what sort of a role have they played? And is this a reaction from barcode to retrieve a little bit of that market share?
Yeah, well, listen, the QR codes are, in fact, what we call a type of 2D barcodes, right? And they're the ones that most consumers and most of your listeners would be familiar to. What is changing in the context of QR codes is how the information is structured inside the QR code, following a global standard. Much like back in 1973, there was a decision around the standard for barcodes. Today, we're also making a decision around how QR codes will be used in future. And so they will definitely be part of many consumer products in the future, but with the difference of following a very specific set of global standards on how data is embedded inside them.
And a lot of contemporary concerns, things like allergens and recycling, I understand that they will be, it'll be possible to record that sort of data on the new generation of barcodes as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you consider something as simple as an expiry date on a product or a batch number, being embedded inside a barcode, and the ability for manufacturers and retailers to use that information in how they manage their supply chains, you can begin to understand how things like product safety and traceability could be improved. The ability of Australian industry to be more effective when executing product recalls would be a massive benefit for all of us. Accessing information about a product's recyclability and potentially linking that data to your local council to understand what capacities you might have locally in your council to be able to recycle that item. And so the ability to decrease things like packaging waste and food waste, which is a really big issue today, right, would certainly be facilitated through this new technology.
Mm. What will it mean to consumers? Will it enhance the shopping experience?
To be able to access information online, and you talked about allergens, but it would include things like nutrition, allergens. It'll also include information about the provenance of an item. So you will be able to better understand where the product came from and have the ability to make more informed product choices. The ability to add this additional data on QR codes would also make it harder for fraudsters to be able to introduce counterfeit product into the supply chain. So as consumers, we will have much more safety in the way in which we buy products in Australia.
And Marcel, will the old Stripe barcode with this new generation, will it disappear altogether?
Certainly not in the short or medium term. We definitely see a transitional period where we continue to see the traditional bars and stripes that have been around for 50 years. But we'll start to see alongside those traditional barcodes, things like QR codes and other types of 2D codes. There is a what we call a global sunrise date of 2027, and this is the date that the global retail industry has agreed where point-of-sale systems around the world will be able to process these types of new codes at point-of-sale. And from that moment on, we might potentially start to see much greater levels of adoption. But the traditional code is going to be with us for a very long time still.
And Marcel, just to get our head around the permutations of the standard barcode, how many different barcodes can you have in the world? Do we know how many are out there at the moment?
Well, yes. I mean, we have an idea. It's kind of really hard to count them. But when you look at our membership, so we've got around 2 million companies globally that are members of GS1, and this would be retailers and manufacturers, right? Those types mm-hmm. of businesses. And we estimate that around 1 to 2 billion products around the world will carry a GS1 barcode. And there is an estimate also around that approximately 10 billion barcodes are scanned every day. So since its inception back in 1973, it's become the most widely adopted supply chain standard in the world.
All right. Sounds like exciting times ahead for your company. Thanks for coming on and chatting with us.
Indeed. Thank you so much, Paul. Really appreciate it.
Marcel Sierra, who's the Chief Customer Officer at GS1, the company responsible for distributing barcodes.